Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That word of God which invites our reflection this day is the lesson just read. The wedding feast. In Second Temple Judaism, it was one of those times when an ancient and often challenging culture would pull all the stops to have a good and festive time. In fact, the rich literature that is still emerging from that day has taught us that sometimes a wedding feast would last a week, that those who were able would save for years, that there was frequently even a wedding coordinator or caterer who would plan for some time. Now, in consulting with my colleague, Dr. James Bullhagen, who recently married two daughters, I was immediately grateful that God gave us four sons. For evidently, it is not in modern era a costless operation to have a one-day wedding affair. What was very clear in ancient weddings was that the host was responsible for everything. And it was customary for guests to also receive a coat, to receive the outer garment, so that the beneficence of the wedding could be celebrated and be very public and visible to all. And in our lesson, what turns out to be discovered and then severely dealt with is that one of the guests does not have that garment. And it's very, very certain that the point here is that he had refused the gracious gift of the giver. And that is a truth that we as Lutherans especially cling to, that we are the recipients of gifts, that our posture is one of God's gracious bestowal, that he simply is the God who gives and gives and keeps giving. And he has given to you and to me the best garment of all in our holy baptism. It's in that gift that we were joined to Christ, that his righteousness, his innocence, his very life is now ours. It's in his word that that gift continues, where God instructs us as the great good shepherd through his prophetic and apostolic spokesman. And of course, when we come to this altar to receive the very body and blood of God's greatest gift, his incarnate Son, we are placed in the role of simply receiving. Indeed, we pray daily that God would clothe us with his gifts, that we would not at all reject the good things he gives, or contrive to think that we can add something to them. What a good thing to be defined by this holy place where we receive God's good gifts. To be on our knees, to receive all the wonders of his glory and presence through those holy means is our great calling and privilege. And in this time when we have students on campus, and particularly the Greek class, I think it warrants us to reflect a bit on what privilege we enjoy. As you look through two millennia of Christian pilgrims, how few of them have had the opportunity to study theology in a formal way? And of those who have had the opportunity to study, how few of them have had the good fortune to study at a time like ours when there are so many helps available. And then to study the original language so that we can see the face of Christ in the nuancing of the Greek and later of the Hebrew. Those are great and glorious gifts. A student the other day asked me, "How hard is it?" And I said, "It's not hard at all for your new man. Your new man is going to rejoice in Greek, love Greek, and delight in its tenses and in its nuances." Now, we all have the old Adam, don't we? And occasionally he may smart a bit, but what we need to do is continually renew ourselves and be refreshed by the gifts. That is the great garment that we enjoy. And it's no accident that this feast that the Father gives, this wedding feast, becomes a sort of metaphor elsewhere in the Scriptures for that great feast that we will enjoy in eternity. That great moment when we will recline at Abraham's bosom, and that already now is foreshadowed in the gathering of God's people around God's word and God's table. In a society that thinks more and more about possessions and tries to reduce human beings to a moment of purchasing, to a moment of economic transaction, you and I know that the greatest gifts cannot be bought, but rather they are simply given. They are given in the garment of Christ's righteousness, worn in our baptism, renewed daily as we arise to be his baptized children, strengthened and nourished by his holy word and sustained in his holy supper. So, fellow workers in the kingdom, rejoice in the gifts. Rejoice because they are ours freely and fully in Christ. And they, by his grace, define our calling. Whether it's student or professor or family member, we can do everything, every little task, with a different perspective, because the big gifts have been given. And now we can rejoice and confess them. And ultimately, share them with the entire world. God grant such joy to each and every one of us and such strength in Christ's presence and in his holy gifts. In his name we ask it. Amen.